Now, I was looking at this chapter 20 of John. That's where we're going to be at today. But Mary, we're not going to get to verse number 11, but Mary was at the tomb, and she was crying and weeping. And the two angels, and one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Mm,
yeah.
And one thing we have to understand about the resurrection, Jesus wasn't a victim on the cross.
Amen.
And he wasn't a victim on the cross. He was a victor on the cross. This is a victorious day. This is a triumphant day. Jesus came to die for our sins. And he overcame all the obstacles to get to the cross.
Amen.
And he got to the cross. Not for him. He was without sin. And like I always say, if it wasn't for the cross, he would have never died on this side.
All right.
Because the wages of sin is death. And if you're sinless, you won't die. That make any sense?
All right.
I think it do. Amen. Hey man, let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to read the first 10 verses on this glorious sunrise service. Amen.
Amen.
Man, it was difficult getting here, and we got cars. Mary had to walk. Mary had to walk. Amen. God is good.
Yes, it is.
Good to hear the car start. Amen. Let's stand. Let's read first. Let's read. I'm going to read 10 verses of John chapter 10. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet, went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him.
Yes, Lord.
And went into the sepulchre. And seeing the linen clothes lie,
yes,
and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed.
Yes, they did.
For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
Yes, our risen Savior.
Victorious Savior, triumphant Savior. We thank you, Father God, for this morning.
Yes, sir.
We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done.
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, for loving us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, not to come to this earth to party and frolic, but to die for our sins. Father God, the Word of God said he loved us when we were yet sinners. And he died for us.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you. It's almost hard to say that we Thank you for allowing your son to die for us. But Father God, you are God, and we won't even try to figure that out. We just want to say thank you this morning that we're not today dead in our trespasses and sins. And we pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. He rose for us. He rose for us. We come to this season, and I'm not against all the Easter decorations. You know, I love to see the Easter decorations. I love to see Walmart challenge to celebrate this holiday. And I know they make a lot of money, but I love to see them forced to acknowledge a risen Savior.
Amen.
I love this holiday because it's not a holiday where folks go out and get drunk.
Amen.
I love this time of year when I see the dandelions coming up.
Amen.
The jelly beans. All those people that know me, my wife and some of you know that I love jelly beans. I love to see the animals, the young animals start to run around, the birds start to chirp. And it's a season that brings forth life. It recognizes life at this time of the year. You see life. You see life. I was reading and studying, and there was a story about a little girl. And she had a bedroom on the second floor, and there was a tree outside her room. And she would look out the window all the time. But one morning she looked out and a bluebird or a blue jay had built a nest. And then shortly after that she seen eggs in the nest. And she watched it intensely, watching those eggs. And she would spend hours on day watching those eggs. And then one morning she went to her window and she looked in the nest. And the eggs were all broken. And she ran downstairs to her father and she said, "Daddy, someone has broken all the eggs." And the wise father took her upstairs and had her look closely into the nest. And she said, "The eggs weren't broke. Life was brought out of those eggs." And when I think of this resurrection season, I think of life coming out of the tomb. Life coming out of the tomb. So we look at our text and again, the first day of the week, something happened on this resurrection season, and because of Jesus Christ rising on the first day of the week, the Christian faith celebrates his resurrection by worshiping on Sundays. And some of you didn't know why we worship on Sunday. I don't know what the Seventh-day Adventists think about that, but things happen. A lot of things happen on this first day of the week. And it says Mary Magdalene came early. And one of the things that I recognize right away, and I have really 4 points I want to make about this, God gives his people that love him courage. Courage. And serving God, serving a victorious God, ought to make us courageous followers.
Amen.
Mary was a courageous follower. Okay? And when we understand what God has done for us in dying on the cross, we are not afraid of death. Not afraid of going to a cemetery. And it was early. And I look at this and I think about 1 Corinthians 15:55, where it says, "Old death." And I think Mary had this in her mind and she was marching to this cemetery. She said, "Old death, where is thy sting? Old grave, where is thy victory?" And the Bible says they really didn't understand, but she was marching. And I look at it as a march of faith. I see Mary marching in faith because she celebrated the Sabbath. She honored the Sabbath. I shouldn't say celebrate, but she honored the Sabbath. She stood at the tomb watching Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus prepared Jesus' body. And Jesus, because he was on the cross at 3, and the Bible says he stayed on the cross for 3 hours. So most likely he was close to 6 o'clock when they took him down. Now Sabbath rules say that all work had to be done by sunset. Okay? So I believe Mary, watching these two gentlemen do the best they could with a little time, said, I need to do more for my Savior. I need to be there early in the morning to do more. Amen?
Amen.
I thought I had one under there. And again, I see Mary coming to the tomb. After recognizing the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And this is like some of us sometimes. We serve God and we do the best we can. But sometimes we have to do sometimes we have to do a little bit extra. Sometimes we have to ask God, you know what, God, this may not be right, but something has to happen here.
Amen.
Mary had obstacles to face as she headed to the sepulchre. The first obstacle she had to face was, how am I going to get in this tomb to do this work? Pilate had given the Romans or the Jewish people a watch. We read that in Matthew 27. He gave them a watch. And when I say a watch, he gave them a group of soldiers that was set aside. This was a guard, a Roman guard. Four shifts, a watch, four shifts, 3 men, 6 hour shifts, to constantly watch this tomb. So not only did Mary have to pray to God that these soldiers be gone when she got there. There was a 5,000 pound stone that needed to be moved away. So Mary said, and then Mary's still marching. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. So Mary, she's still marching, even though she knows that if this all has to happen, I'm in a lot of trouble. Because not only did they have a watch of three soldiers there was a 5,000 pound stone that was there, but there was something else there that would cause you the death penalty if you even messed with it. There was a Roman seal placed on that tomb. So whoever would break that seal, you're in a world of trouble. So Mary said, well, I need to break the seal, move this 5,000 pound stone, and then I got three soldiers to deal with. Now we're talking about a young woman. How about that? How do we face obstacles in our lives? How do we face stones in our lives when Satan has bound us?
Mm-hmm.
Mary knew one thing.
All right, come on.
If God don't do it,
mm-hmm.
it won't be done.
Right.
And she kept marching.
Right.
She kept marching. And one other thing I see in this first verse, I'm going to keep moving. Those that seek the Lord must seek Him out. Early. See, seeking the Lord is going to cost you something.
Amen.
And I think this is where we are at in Christianity. We want a trouble-free, cost-free Christianity. And I just want to tell you something. Being saved, serving the Lord, seeking Him early, is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you sleep as it did Mary. It's going to cost you revenue. It's going to cost you resources. It may cost you a promotion. It may cost you a job. It may cost you a relationship. But it's going to cost you something. So we see Mary asking the great carpenter, as Jesus was, to do some masonry work. This stone had to be moved. It didn't have to be moved so Jesus could get out. Let's get that right.
All right. Amen.
The stone had to be moved so Mary and the disciples could see that Christ was risen.
Amen.
So we don't want to misunderstand that the stone had to be moved, not for Jesus to get out, but for us to look in. Look at the second point. Mary had some plans. Mary had some plans. And I probably should have just wowed this one into the first point. Because Mary had some plans. She was planning to anoint Jesus' body.
Yes.
She had went home and prepared spices, and she was on her way to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
How many know God will change your plans?
Come on.
Amen. How many know your best plans? God can and will change. Ask Matthew. Not Matthew Nels, but Matthew the tax collector. God changed his plans. Ask Zacchaeus as he was hiding up in the sycamore tree. God changed his plans. Ask Rahab. When the two spies came to her house, when they came to her home, all her plans was changed. The woman at the well. When she ran into Jesus, her plans were changed. And I could go down the list. I can give you Boaz. I can give you Moses. I can give you David, tending the sheep. No idea that one day he was going to be king. He was just doing what he did. And then he had an encounter with God, and God changed his plan. How about you? How about us? It wasn't my plan to be at this church.
All right. Amen.
Okay. I had a church that was sitting in there. We was there a couple of weeks, and they had really ripped out the red carpet for us.
Yeah.
And they said, "You're going to be our pastor." Then I got a call saying, "Well, plans have changed." The plans have changed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm saying, "Hell, I got a pastor church on the north side where I grew up. This is going to be wonderful."
Mm-hmm.
And God changed plans.
Because
he's a plan changer.
Yes,
he changes plans. Look at the third thing. I'm going to keep that as a second point. You see, after Mary in verse number two, it says, "Then she runneth." Okay? Now I can spend some time on that because I know one thing for sure, certain. It takes some energy to serve God. Okay? I know my music director said amen on that, because I know some of y'all been out here every day this week running back and forth to the house of God. Running back and forth doing ministry. Ministry takes energy. And a lot of us can't do ministry because we are bogged down with all the cares and concerns of the world. You know, the parable of the sower and the seed comes to mind.
Yes.
You had that third seed that was sown on thorny ground. It came up and it looked good for a while. And then people say, "Well, why so-and-so don't come to church? So-and-so don't come no more." Because usually it's because the cares of this world chokes out the joy in the Word of God that's in them.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful. We have to be careful. The Word of God says, "Be ye what? Sober. And be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, and if he can't devour you, he'll choke you out."
All right.
So you can't do no ministry. So you can't get to where God wants you to be.
Amen.
Because you bogged down. One thing that bogs us down is sin. Sin will bog you down. Sin will slow you down. Sin will choke out your love for God.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, it will.
Look at this next thing. Look at Peter. He says, "She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter." That's interesting. Peter obviously was still hurt and embarrassed and humiliated. Remember, he got flooded out by a little peasant girl after running his mouth. "God, I don't do anything. I'll lay down my life for you." And Jesus told him point blank, "Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." And Peter probably was like, "Man, you out of your mind, Jesus. Do you know how to cut somebody's ear off? I'm a bad boy.
All right.
Ain't that something?
Mm.
Well, let me say this about Peter. And remember this when you ministering. Remember this when you're ministering. Peter was where he was supposed to be, even though he was hurt, even though he was embarrassed, even though he was humiliated. He did not forsake assembling all himself together with believers.
Yeah.
That is important. That is something important that we don't do.
Right.
When a saved man, the one out there, a just man, falls seven times. But when in the church, when a man of God falls or a woman of God falls, sometimes the church is not a comfortable place.
Amen.
Listen. We all fall short.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Turn to 1 John. I'll flip some scriptures here real quick, but this is an important one. Look at 1 John. I know we studied this. Those who've been with me on Wednesday night and down at the Iron Man, we exhausted this. 1 John 1, 8, and 9, and 10. It's just one of those ones that we need to save as our memory verse. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know there's nothing worse than deceiving yourself. Thinking that you more than what you are.
Amen.
Well, I said, let a man take heed of himself.
Yeah.
Lest he fall.
Because
we are all subject to fall. And if you serve in God, you better pay attention. Because Satan don't care about you. He just want to use you. He just want to use you. And he will destroy your marriage. He will destroy your family. He will destroy your church. He is the author of destruction.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, and I don't believe anybody that I'm looking at out here can say that. Nobody up here in this pulpit either.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth meaning the Word of God, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not in a man or a woman who say, they got it all together, and, you know, I don't need God. Know what's in them? Psalm 14 says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Listen, people, there's a God. And his eyes roll to and fro. And I may not know what you're doing, and you may not know what I'm doing, but God knows. Okay? If we confess, verse 9, if we, I love 1 John. I circled all these we's and ours and he's, because, you know, John would put himself right down there with the common folks.
Amen.
He was a we are us type of preacher. Okay? He wasn't an I, me, and mine. He said, if we. John himself, the apostle, last ever apostle, walked with the Lord, seen all his miracles, but he said, if we confess, what does that word confess mean? Admit. Okay? That's a legal term. You know what I mean? You get locked up, you just make confession. Yes, I did it.
Alright.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Not me. Okay? Don't put all your plans behind the preacher. Because preachers must confess their sins too.
Amen.
See, Jesus don't have a sin to confess. He without sin. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful, is just to forgive us of our sins. I can't forgive you of your sins. I can only pray to God that he forgive you. See, this is why they had a problem when the man, they lowered the man through the roof and laid him at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And they had a real problem with that. They said, who can forgive sins but God?
Yeah.
And he said, well, y'all need me to prove to you that I'm God?
All right.
He told the man, they said, no, not only am I forgive you of your sins, but go ahead and rise up and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Oh, come on now. When God forgave us of our sins, we picked up some stuff.
Yeah.
And we started walking a little different.
Yeah.
Talking a little different.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He said, if we confess our sins, have you confessed your sins? You can't go to heaven with unconfessed sin. Heaven is a holy place. You got sin, and you die in your sin, you got a problem on your hands. Now I can tell all your friends you're in heaven, but that don't mean nothing. Confess the sin, because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us need a cleansing. When we came to the Lord, we confessed our sins, we needed a cleansing. Detox. When God saved Paul, remember God saved Paul, he fasted, he made Paul fast. How did I only Paul ate for a week? Get all that mess out of you. God can't use you with all that mess in you. I want to be used, and you know, God ain't used me. You got mess in your life. Clean up your life. Get rid of some of that mess. And then God can use you.
Amen.
I was using this illustration. You go to the dentist, he's not going to feel that tooth and he get all that decay out. And then you tell me, you go to the dentist, he said, well, look, I got most of it out. And I'm going to feel it. That's a bad dentist.
Yeah.
I'll be in a chair, I'm crying. I'm tears going down my eyes.
Yeah.
I only like way to go to dentist. I said, Rain on me. I want you to see me crying up in here. He said, oh, come on, man, you're a big old boy. You can handle it. I'm crying like a baby. Then you hear that. Let me know if you feel something. Yeah, I'm feeling something. But the point of it is, he can't feel that cavity. He get all that junk out of there. And then when they do, you got a good fit. You got a nice feel. Oh, if we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. We even call that a liar. Oh, Nate, you call your boy up at Kent State. How you doing, boy? You staying out of trouble? Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing everything right, Dad. I haven't sinned since last quarter. Hang up on him, Nate. I'll call you later. You. Listen. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. And you know, that's a dangerous thing to be walking around here with God's word not in you.
Amen.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay. I'm all right. Watch this. Peter was right where he was supposed to be, and Mary came to him. And I believe when you study the text, the angels, and I believe it's in Mark's story. The angels told Mary, go and tell Peter. Okay? Go tell Peter.
Yeah.
The angels told him to tell Mary to go tell Peter. Because they understood Peter was humiliated. He was humble. And we don't like that all the time. Sometimes we just don't like hearing the truth.
Yeah.
And Jesus just told him the truth and said, Peter, listen. I love your spirit. I love your zeal. I love your energy. But you don't understand yet. You just need to leave. That's what was the plan. You need to leave. They come to get me. I need you guys to go out and do the work. But some of us have to be broken. And humiliated. And knocked down before we can be used. I believe we got pulpits galore with men that aren't humble. Think about that. Peter was Mary was proclaiming this gospel message, and she went to Peter to proclaim. And if you are saved, and on this resurrection day, and on tomorrow, one thing, some of the things I like about these brothers at the Iron Man, they are relentless in going out and telling folks about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To proclaim the gospel, you have to be a living testimony of what you're talking about. There ought to be a remnant of what you're talking about in your own life. So how do I get that? How do I get that? How do I get that power to go out and tell folks? Because it's tough. Folks don't want to hear it. Folks don't want to hear the Word of God. Listen, whether they want to hear it or not, the Word of God said we ought to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And Peter, 1 Peter 3:15 says, the way you do that is to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Stay in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. Stay in His book. And take those principles out of the book and apply them to your life. And that's a difficult thing. Taking it off the paper and applying it to your life. Well, we can read it. We can be great students of the Word. We can be great teachers of the Word. But can we take it off the pages and apply it to our lives? And then walk in that. They're supposed to see Christ. When they look at you, they ought to see Christ. Word of God said, we're peculiar people.
Yes.
We don't fit in. We ought not look like the world. We ought not talk like the world.
Amen.
I mean, we ought not. I always say, you know, some places we just don't go.
Amen.
Look at this last point. Jesus. Well, this ain't the last point. I ain't turning the page over. Jesus. Death, burial, and resurrection was for one reason. To save sinners. To let a dying world know that the Savior has came to earth to die for our sins. I quoted it earlier, but Romans 5:8 says this. Yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He died for us. One of the reasons that Peter was so weak is because he was hanging with the wrong crowd. And he got a little cocky, using a quote from the rooster. Got a little beside himself. See, sometimes we warm ourselves. He was warming himself at the fire with all the non-believers. How many of you know non-believers zap your energy? You go out ministering and you talk to non-believers all week. Minister to them on your job, talking to them as you walk through your life. They take energy. And you need to be filled again. The Bible said be filled to you with the Holy Spirit. And we have to be careful about that. And I just threw that in there because I didn't want to miss that point. But God came to save sinners. And that's the message. That's the message of the resurrection. That the work was done. He said it was finished. And that part of the work was done. Dying on the cross, all that was done. But there's an interesting point. And I'm going to close with this one for sure. If you look at verse number 7, I'm going to look at this napkin just for a minute here. Jewish customs talk about the napkin. I know some of you guys have studied this before and understand what the napkin represented. Because when Jesus rose up out of that tomb, everything was just so neat. I mean, how many of you have ever seen locusts? The locusts come and the locusts come out of that shell. And you look at it, and you look at it close because you don't know if the locust is in there or not. Okay? That's how Jesus looked. When they went in there, they seen everything just like it was. And we always say, why would grave robbers come to a grave to rob it? Because the spices that Nicodemus and Joseph and Arimathea brought was worth money. Okay? But why would a grave robber leave a tomb so neat? I don't know if anybody in here has been robbed. Thank God I have never, no one ever broken into my house. But some of you have had your house broken into and they do some destruction. Okay? Unless they're a cat burglar and you got a lot of jewels and stuff, you know, like on TV. But usually somebody come in your house, they knock the door down. Okay? Break a window out. And whatever under the window is all over the floor. So hard to break in somebody's house without leaving a mess. But there was nothing. There was nothing. Everything was in order because God is a God of order. But the napkins folded and separated meant something in Jewish customs. In Jewish tradition, it meant something. See, a master would be at the dinner table. And these Jews would know this. A master would be at the dinner table. And while he was eating, he would have the napkin. And if something came up where he had to leave the table, he would fold the napkin up and place it in a separate spot for all the dishes and everything. And that was an indication to the servant that I am not done. Okay? I'm not done. I am coming back to finish. Okay? Now, if he would have took the napkin and folded up and put it on the tray, and it still happens if you go to Denny's or you go to Perkins or wherever you go out to eat, the waitress is not going to come and take your food unless you roll up the napkin. A good waitress at a good restaurant. Now, go to Corral, we ain't talking about. At a good restaurant, you put the napkin on the plate as an indication, you know, we waited for dessert over here. But we're done with this. But Jesus folded that napkin up and placed it away. And he said, I'm coming back. And I'm going up the turn. Amen. I'm coming back. Now, when he come back, he's not coming back to get spit on.
Right.
Amen.
He's not coming back in swaddling clothes. He's not coming back to be mocked and ridiculed. He's not going to wear a crown of thorns or a dingy purple gown. Listen. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation 17. I'm closing with Revelation 17. He's coming back.
Amen.
Amen.
You there,
Deacon. He's coming back. 17 and 14. I just love this. He said, these shall make war with the Lamb. Well, they made war with the Lamb. Now he's using a lamb. Now how many of you know a lamb don't put up no fight? This is a different kind of lamb here. Okay? This is a different kind of lamb here. Because it says in the next sentence, in the lamb. You overcome them. Now this is different type of language here. Because the lamb ain't overcoming anything. He's just lay down there and do what you gotta do. But this lamb is gonna overcome them. Why? Because he is the Lord of Lords. And that capital L, Lord, that's the big one there, of the little one. See, the little one ain't gonna be no match for this one. He said, I am the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now here's where we come in. And they that are with him, I want to be with him.
Yeah.
Somebody's about to say amen. I want to be with him. But if you want to be with him, there are three criteria to being on the Lord's team.
Yeah.
He says, and they that are with him are called. That means you are somewhere where you ought not have been.
Yeah.
And God called you. You got to know that you're called.
Yeah.
Have you been called?
Yeah.
Those that are God have been called. He has called us where? Out of darkness. Into his marvelous light. And his light is marvelous. So the first thing you have to understand, you've been called. Now you're still in darkness. just, you know you ain't been caught.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And then not only did he call you, and then he says, and chosen.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting there. And chosen. Okay? You been called,
mm-hmm.
and you came. See, in a couple of weeks, a whole lot of football players gonna get a call.
Yeah.
We have drafted you
mm-hmm.
in the fourth round or the fifth round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But see, unlike that first round draft choice,
yeah,
that first round draft gonna make the team.
Yeah.
But when you get a call as a free agent or in that late round, you gotta prove yourself. So not only were they called, they were chosen after they proved themselves. Oh, how you doing with that?
Yeah.
How you doing with that? Have you been chosen? Because many are called.
Yeah.
That was the word of God say.
Yeah.
I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
The word of God say many are called.
Yeah.
But
you
are chosen.
Yeah.
The word of God says in Matthew 7, it's a wide road that leads to hell.
Yeah.
And many be on that one.
Yes,
I know y'all said it's supposed to be a resurrection service, but I'm trying to resurrect somebody.
Yes.
You got no one wrong with you on.
Yes.
It's a wide road that leads to hell. And many on it.
Yes.
See, I don't worry about these mega churches.
Yes.
I worry about mega ministry. Because
oh,
the road is just being wide. It's like you can do anything you want to do. He said, many are called, and few are chosen. He said, a wide road to lead to hell, that's a call. See, MacArthur say, you know, they be on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
They think, see, some of y'all think you're on the right road. You got to make sure you're on the right road.
Amen.
Now, if you look for a God, and everybody doing anything they want to do is on the same road you're doing, and everybody going to heaven, you better be careful.
All right.
You better get a Holy Ghost GPS and plug it in for heaven. And they're going to say, oh, Lord, that's a lot of bumpy roads, a lot of skin and bones and stuff. It's a narrow road. It's a hard road to travel. And it's all up here. You better have a good transmission. Listen. And they that are with him are called. And they are chosen. And the last thing, they are faithful. Faithful. Okay, God talks about that faithful few. And then, you know, I can talk to every pastor in town. And every pastor in town got their faithful few.
Yeah.
You got your 20% doing 80%. And that's okay. Just ask the Lord, just Lord, give me just a little strength. Just give me just a little strength. Because I know I'm doing more than all I feel that folks ain't doing nothing. But glory be to God. I just thank you for the strength that you've given me to do more.
Amen.
Just give me more strength. Because I want to do more.
Yeah.
I want to do more. What road you on?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been called? Have you been chosen? Have you been faithful? When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he quickened us. That's a picture of the resurrection. We was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, we was dead in our trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
We was dead on our way to hell.
Yeah.
And God just called us, said, Mark, said, Nate, said,
yeah.
Keith,
yeah.
I'm calling you. Fill you with my spirit. And then I'm going to use you. You got to want to be used.
Amen.
If God has called you and chosen you, not frozen you, but called you and chosen you, you ought to be faithful.
Amen.
Because we are in for a treat.
Yeah.
We are in for a treat. We are in for something wonderful, something glorious. And when we leave this place, when we breathe our last breath, listen, now one of you going to say, well, you know what? I want to go back. I miss going to church. You're not going to miss going to church. I don't care how much you love the church. When you get to heaven, you're not going to miss Christian Bible Battle. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you right now.